Hello, and welcome to the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement's podcast, Wonks at Work. On this show, we aim to demystify, boil down, and unwonk, if you will, complex topics so you can understand how the healthcare system is working or not working for you. I'm Craig Wilson, your host, a self-declared wonk, dad of two boys, native Arkansan, and I've been the health policy director at the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement for more than a decade. Thanks for listening in today. I think we can all agree that getting a good night's sleep is one of the best ways to ensure that we start our day in a good mood and increase our ability to respond better to whatever the day brings. Of course, if you are like me, there are so many things that can keep you from getting a good night's sleep. Whether it's a restless puppy, a kiddo who's scared of a storm, a random beeping from the low battery on your fire alarm, or simply a room temperature that's just not quite right. Those are everyday occurrences for many of us that we try our best to minimize so that we are successful in getting some much-needed rest. For some, though, minimizing everyday disruptions to sleep is not enough, as they deal with sleep disorders that cause problems with the quality, timing, and amount of sleep. About 50 million people in the U.S. have a sleep disorder, and the loss of sleep can lead to the development of other health conditions, such as depression and heart disease. Fortunately, there are several types of management and treatment options available for sleep disorders. And here to delve into that with us today is Dr. Dimitri Foman, a neurologist in Rogers, Arkansas, who leads the Mercy Clinic Sleep Medicine and Mercy Sleep Center in Northwest Arkansas. Dr. Foman has subspecialty training in sleep medicine and a certification in sleep medicine from the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology. He works closely with his team of advanced registered nurse practitioners, clinical nurses, medical assistants, and polysomnographic technologists. That's two big words. Specially trained in adult and pediatric sleep disorders. He attended medical school at the Uniformed Services University of Health Sciences F. Edward Hebert School of Medicine in Bethesda, Maryland, and completed his neurology residency at Walter Reed Army Medical Center. Dr. Foman, welcome to the show, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right.
Glad to be here.
Great, great. So before we get to the more serious stuff, and all of your expertise, I want to really know what keeps you busy when you're not working.
Oh, I probably should put at the front sleep. How's that?
It's perfect.
Now, biking, hiking, lifting, spending time with family, traveling, love to cook.
Excellent, excellent. What do you like to cook?
Everything. I'm diverse in my taste.
I'm the same. I've grown older, I've liked to spread it out a little bit. And my wife and I cook a lot, so that's good. All right. So I asked this of all of our wonky guests. What would you say is your theme song?
Do all your guests have a theme song? Because when I thought of that question, I said, I don't have a theme song. But as I thought of the question, I had to come up with something. So how about Enter Sandman by Metallica?
Oh, yeah. Great song. Great song, Enter Sandman. Of course. I mean, he's going with the sleep theme. We've got to...
There you go.
All right. So just a basic question, because I know my sleep patterns vary. How much sleep do we actually need to get?
You know, I get this question all the time, and it almost becomes my pet peeve, because nobody ever asks me questions like, well, how many times should I breathe a minute? Or how many calories should I consume every day? But everybody wants to know how much sleep I should get. There is no right or wrong answer in terms of numbers. The numbers you hear in popular media are really just derivations of very cold statistical kind of analyses. Mm-hmm. It really not the number of hours of sleep you get in, but the quality of sleep you get in. And actually, the best thing you're going to get out of sleep is not feeling sleepy the following day.
Yeah.
So, and it varies from person to person and from day to day.
Yeah, I know my wife, she likes to sleep a lot more, but I get 7 hours and I'm good and I'm ready to go. But she likes probably eight and a half. So I can see that playing out even in my own household. What are some of the more common sleep disorders that you see?
The folks that I meet in the clinic, I see a biased population. Okay. They all seem to be because they already have some sleep-related concerns. This is not your average college student you meet on the street. But of the ones that I see in my practice, by far and away, the most common sleep disorder is insomnia, which is broadly defined as subjective dissatisfaction with your ability to go to sleep, stay asleep, or feeling like you're getting good quality sleep.
So does insomnia or other sleep disorders, do they occur more commonly in certain populations, like in certain age groups or certain genders? Or
there's certainly statistical significance at looking at demographics of any given population. Insomnia becomes more prevalent during certain stages of life, in certain occupational environments. But not just insomnia. If we can talk about, let's say, age-specific issues, in children, we'll see more frequently things like parasomnias, nightmare disorders. In elderly, we'll see more frequently breakdown of cohesiveness and continuity of sleep. In working population, especially those who are working shifts, we'll see circadian rhythm disorders.
Okay. And I know you see some of the probably more severe patients, but what are some of the best ways that we can manage or treat some of the more common sleep disorders?
It doesn't even have to be disorder. Just subjective dissatisfaction with the quality of sleep, the best approach from grassroots perspective is start by educating yourself about what does it mean to have good quality sleep? And again, many people get frustrated because they're not getting the 8 hours that are sort of portrayed as the goal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not getting satisfied because you're not 6 feet tall, blonde, and blue-eyed can ruin your life. And so you shouldn't shoot for the popular media portrayal of 8 hours as a holy grail of sleep. Learn what healthy sleep supposed to look like, and then learn how can you promote, what kind of behaviors can you institute in your everyday life to promote your ability to achieve that quality sleep. So it's not even a disorder. It's just good, healthy habits that you can learn, like what is good nutrition look like? A healthy lifestyle look like? All of those principles apply to what healthy sleep looks like.
I see. Yeah. So speaking of something that has been portrayed, I think, as unhealthy, particularly for our youth, how does social media use and screen time affect our sleep patterns?
I'm probably going to date myself by saying that I don't know a whole lot about social media because I'm hardly ever involved with it. It's a foreign concept to me. It doesn't even have to be social media. Social media by itself is not an evil of all evils. The only hazard here that I can see is, again, there are a lot of room for getting sort of not scientifically backed information and advice from that media. So take the information, especially if that's something you want to use to structure your lifestyle, take it with a grain of salt. See if you can find something to back up the validity, the scientific validity of the information you're getting on the social media. But in general, every generation will have some kind of sword peeve concepts about the next generation, whether it's rock and roll or jazz music or something of that nature. Every generation will find some faults in it. So the technology of that allows us to have social media, the technology of being connected to the world 24/7, certainly can play negatively on the physiology of our sleep, but it also can be beneficial. I can use my phone to get the mindfulness app and do a quick meditation at the time of going to bed, and that may be beneficial.
Yeah,
I can set my phone to play background soothing music, and it also can be beneficial. It's not always evil.
Yeah,
it's however you use it. I mean, you can drown in the in the melted puddle of gold. So gold is not always a good thing. So this technology can be bad for you and could be good for you, depending on how you use it.
All very good points. So what are some of the most exciting innovations or advancements that you're seeing in this field right now?
Probably the greatest thing, and I I'm dating myself, but I've been in this business from late 80s. Even before the internet became available to us on as a household item. And that was the time when margarine and Crisco shortening were the healthy alternatives to butter.
Yeah.
So the innovations, the greatest innovation I see nowadays is actually what you and I are doing right now, this attention to the significance of sleep. Mm-hmm. The words like sleep medicine and sleep health were unheard of outside of specialized medical environments back when I started in the 80s. Now you and I were talking about sleep.
Yeah.
It's being brought out into our everyday life. A general consumer is being educated. I think that's the greatest thing we can do. That's the greatest innovation.
That is a good one, definitely. So having been in the field for a while, are there policy changes at the state or federal level that could improve our chances of getting the recommended amount of sleep or any treatments that could be available?
You're not going to send any state police after me after I say what I want to say.
I'll hold them off. I'll hold them off. You be free with your words here.
You know, the thing that bothers me the most, both on professional level and also on the personal level, is this twice a year change in our clock. It plays havoc on our bodies. And the older we get, the more negative effect it has on us.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see that go. I don't want to change clocks.
It is certainly bothersome, particularly for people with kids.
Yeah. The other thing, talking about kids, the other policy area that I think we're working on, and I'm beginning to see some progress in the area, is the school start time, particularly for high schoolers. Getting those kids up at before the crack of dawn just does not play well with the human physiology, circadian rhythm. We're shooting ourselves in the foot by getting those kids up to school before the crack of dawn. And I'm beginning to see that at least on some states, some county levels, they're changing this.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of the attention to the to importance of sleep and learning about the effects of circadian rhythm on the development of those young minds and bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, very good suggestions there. So one of the aspects of this podcast is to kind of look back and think about the up-and-comers, those students who are kind of maybe interested in the medical field or in health services administration. And so I always ask this question. For those up-and-comers who might want to be in this field, what would be your best advice to them?
As with everything else in life, start by educating yourself. Find out what's important to you and look for resources that are scientifically backed, that have justification for being there. I have to put a plug for the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. Mm-hmm. It's a motherload of information, both for lay public and for healthcare practitioners. National Sleep Foundation is another good source for information. Okay. And then for those who are interested in pursuing a career in sleep medicine, spend some time in the clinics, in the sleep medicine clinics. Take the time and go to the annual or quarterly meeting of the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. Mm-hmm. You get to talk to people who do this for a living. Mm-hmm. You get to see what kind of items on agenda that seem to be up and coming and what people are struggling with. See if that excites you.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for this conversation about something that I know we all need and something that I very much enjoy, which is sleep.
And that's what I say. I like to practice what I preach.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Wonks at Work. The podcast is produced by the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement, and you can listen to more episodes on our website, achi.net. If you have a topic you would like for us to consider for a future episode, please email us at achi@achi.net. As a reminder, the views, information, and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely those of the guests and do not necessarily represent those of the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement. The primary purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. The podcast does not constitute medical, legal, or other professional advice or services. We hope you've enjoyed our latest episode, and again, thanks for listening.